you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Score hotline. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we are waiting with bated breath for every update on Caleb Williams. What have you seen of him thus far? How does he look as a player? How quickly will this transition into the NFL be going?
That's what we got to find out, right? Those are questions that we're going to have to answer in the weeks and months ahead. And I thought Matt Eberflus did a good job trying to explain yesterday that it's not going to be a straight line in terms of improvement. That there are going to be some bumpy days in the process, and some of that's by design, right? You are trying to introduce him to stuff that he hasn't seen before. Certainly he hasn't seen before with the level of speed and size that you get in the NFL. Windows don't open as wide, and they close a heck of a lot quicker in the National Football League than they do in college, or the what was the Pac-12, where for a lot of those programs it was defense optional. So we got to see. They haven't had pads on yet, so you're kind of simulating what might look like a pass rush for them. Even when they do put pads on, there's no contact. So, but you like what you see. You like the movement skills. You like his ability to react. Ball seems like it's coming out in a relatively timely manner. So we'll see. But it's all positive to this point.
Brad, after three practices, do we have any more clarity how they're going to treat Braxton Jones? Is he injured? Is it a residue from last season? Are they concerned enough to go out and keep the lines of communication open with David Bakhtiari? Is Larry Borum the key backup there?
Braxton Jones had the neck injury that forced him to miss, I believe it was 6 games last season. And after he came back from that, he talked about still being aware of that. I don't know that he was totally over it. I've been told by multiple people that the issue that cropped up here for him late in the spring was not related to the neck issue from last season. So I would take that as a positive. He's done a little bit more since camp opened up. And I think when we talk about where they're at in July, they're going to go real easy with these guys, with the goal being of, having them ready moving forward. And Matt Eberflus has said this a couple times, that one of the key factors in decisions regarding playing time for Caleb Williams in preseason will be what five offensive linemen can they put out there? Like if the starting five aren't ready to roll, you're either not going to see the quarterback or you're going to see less of them or he's going to be handing off more. I don't know exactly what they would do, but multiple times already he's mentioned that that's a big factor there. And I mean, people keep asking how much is he going to play in preseason? And I don't think he's going to play some inordinately high number of snaps. And I think Eberflus is kind of explain to people, like, there's a reason they're doing ones versus ones in practices, that they want to give him the best looks possible. There's a reason why they've got a practice scrimmage with the Cincinnati Bengals. So you'll see him in preseason action, but I don't think it's going to be an outlier in terms of, wow, would you look at what the Bears did with their starting unit?
You know, I thought that we understood kind of who their starting lineup was going to be, who was in the running for that. The center position, it surprised me that they're kind of going day to day with that. How long will they go with that, and is that a legitimate positional battle?
Well, Ryan Bates first up, and the guy that you saw first in the spring and you saw first when camp opened here, they're not going to just hand it to him. So, and I think they want Coleman Shelton trained as well. So I think Bates is the guy that ends up winning this job. I don't know that it'll happen in the next week. I would think they'd want to have that settled with a solid, you know, 3 weeks to go anyway, if not a little bit more. But they're hoping to have not only a better line this season, the starting five, but they're hoping to have improved depth. And their depth has been put to the test more than they would have wanted it to be the past couple of years. And then you've looked at it when that's happened and you've been like, well, that's what you get when you're using backup offensive linemen. That's what you've had to say in a several cases anyway. So they're hoping that, you know, Shelton and Bates give them some coverage on the interior if they have something happen. And that's not just at center, that's at the guard position as well. And we've seen Nate Davis miss time, and we know that, you know, Tevin Jenkins is a guy who historically has had some things pop up.
Brad, the Bears will give Jonathan Owens time off to go to Paris to watch his wife, Simone Biles, compete in the Olympics. He'll miss 7 practices and the Hall of Fame game in Canton. And while the Bears can look at that and say, hey, this is a source of pride and this is a great thing and look at how we treat our players, I think it's terrific. I also wonder if they are establishing a precedent that players might take advantage of or try to down the road. What do you think about the decision? And do you think that this could be a slippery slope?
I mean, I guess if some of these players find a bunch of single available Olympic athletes, that it could be a slippery slope.
No, not that. This is a personal event that he's being excused to attend. If you want to argument, there could be other events in people's lives that don't necessarily rise to the level of an Olympic competition.
Rib store opening?
I'm just saying, you don't see this happen all the time. Not every team would do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most teams would do it. And Owens, listen, he was here for all the off-season stuff. They started camp basically a week before everybody else. So when you talk about the time he's going to miss, I think they're going to be all right. When you look at that depth chart right now that they've got at that safety position, at least entering camp, you know, he looks to me like well, there's your third safety. Like if he's the guy that could really push Elijah Hicks, who's going to be going into year three, former seventh round pick, hasn't had a ton of opportunities, hasn't been great. So I think Owens is that third safety for them, and I don't think that a trip to Paris to see his wife compete in the Olympics is going to challenge him making the roster. And I don't see this causing them problems. I mean, when guys come to them to miss time, that's a case by case decision. And this is certainly a unique situation with his wife being a well-known Olympic athlete.
I'm curious, Brad. We saw the NFL does this top 100 list. Congratulations. Everyone kind of loves to watch it. Montez Sweat came in at 82. It's the first time he's been on that list. He was a first-time Pro Bowler with the Bears last year. He obviously has gotten paid now. Can they sell the idea that you get a lot of kind of public scrutiny, that you get a lot more eyes on you with the Bears than you would at other places when they go to free agency again? I mean, does Montez Sweat, was he an underrated player who finally is getting his due, or does being in Chicago help you get your due?
I think there's a little bit of both there. You know, he was a talented player in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
On a defensive line that had a lot of other talented guys too. So you're trying to pick and choose. Well, who's the engine here? Who makes it happen? Who's benefiting from the production of the top guy? You know, how does that work? And then Chicago, the spotlight that comes with it, I that's very real as well, especially when the Bears are doing well, which they weren't doing well when Montez arrived, and then what were they, 5-3 in the final eight games? They played some better football, so I could see both sides of that being true. Now that NFL top 100, I've seen some of this balloting, like the league, the network sends hardworking people around to the teams with clipboards, and they're catching players after practice. Hey, would you like to vote for the NFL top 100? And you know, the guy just came off a practice field. He's probably trying to warm up. It's like mid December. He's been outside for 2.5 hours, and it's butt cold out there. And it's just kind of like guy's got like glazed blank stare. You know, well, you know, there's Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. You know, and so the voting for this, I'm not sure how scientific it is, but certainly provides the network with programming as camp gets rolling.
All right, Brad, so you've been there a long time. You've had first impressions of new quarterbacks, going back to Cordell Stewart, Rex Grossman, Mitch, Jay, Justin Fields, Kyle Orton. How would you compare the first impression of Caleb Williams at training camp, running this team in charge of what happens next, to other experiences that you've watched?
I think it's positive. Although you know you're out there for Justin and Mitch, and you're watching that as it starts, and you're looking for the positive, and it generally is positive when it's there's no pads, there's no contact, it's at a slower tempo. You know, these first handful of practices, you know, there's walkthrough periods of practices where they want to make sure when they get going full speed that everything's done correctly. You know, the coaches feel like they're, you know, teachers on the grass. But I think it's been positive with Caleb. You certainly like his attitude. You like how his teammates are reacting to him. You like, you know, him being really clear that he wants to learn, that he knows that he's got to dive into that. So I think everything about it to this point has been very positive. The Bears have just got to see if he's the guy that they can finally develop and break through with.
If you could wish something upon them, what would it be? In other words, when you look at their team, their roster, how they're put together, what are they short?
Boy, you know, like you're going to have natural questions about the pass rush, but I don't know that there's a solution out there. Like the people have talked for a month and a half, 2 months about signing Yannick Ngakoue. If they sign Yannick Ngakoue, I would be of the opinion that you've still got pass rush questions opposite Montez Sweat. Like I saw him last year and I don't think he did a ton. And he's coming back off a ankle injury that looked pretty gruesome. So if you add Ngakoue to the roster, do you still have the same issue? That would be what I would wonder about. But they need to stay healthy, right? These guys need to get off to a positive start in the regular season. It's still a really young roster. I think it's real when you talk about players and teams and coaches needing to learn how to win, right? So if they could get off to a decent start, then you'd see some confidence starting to grow. And we've all seen that before in some of these really good seasons that the Bears have had. They get a little confidence going that gets contagious, and then before you know it, you're on a roll that can stretch from 1 month to the next.
Dolphins hosted Yannick Ngakoue and Emmanuel Agba yesterday. We're curious to see what they decide to do because they're trying to find a pass rusher to replace Shaq Barrett. Obviously, getting to the quarterback matters because the quarterbacks in the division are very, very good. One of them, Jordan Love, is staging his own hold-in. Not a hold out. He's a hold in. Wants a new contract extension until he gets one. He's not going to practice, Brad. I don't think this is a huge story yet, but it does bear monitoring. What do you think about the whole situation in Green Bay?
Yeah, they got to pay him. They took their time getting to him, right? And when I say getting to him, like putting him in a position to play because Rodgers was still at such a high level. I think Aaron had two MVP seasons after they had used the first round pick on Jordan Love. And so they didn't have the benefit really of that rookie contract, and the level to which he performed last season with especially considering how things were kind of moving around him, how young the wide receivers were. Some of them were banged up. They're going to have to open up the bank vaults in Brown County, Wisconsin, and pay him. And I'd agree that it's not an issue right now. You would imagine they've been working pretty diligently on that for quite a while. And we'll see where that heads. But the pay for these quarterbacks, guys, it's going through the roof. Like you take a look at it right now and you say, okay, where's the top five? Where's the top 10? If Caleb Williams is a player, right? If he becomes the quarterback that Bears fans have been pining to see for, 70, 80 years, some of the more senior Bears fans that are out there, where is that thing at in 2027 when he can say, hey, I've put in 3 years, I want a new contract? Like, is it a $70 million a year quarterback? Is it a $75 million? I don't know. But the pay for that position, the elite ones, it keeps climbing. And if you don't have an elite quarterback, the Bears are evidence that it's impossible to compete on a consistent basis.
Yeah, holy cow, that is so much money, and I'm not arguing with you. It's going to go through the roof. I wonder.
It already has. I mean, we're
It already has.
Jordan Love could be among the top five quarterbacks paid in the NFL.
So have receivers.
Yeah.
You know, that rookie contract.
Well, how about the guard market?
Like,
Kevin Zinkler was talking about it yesterday that, you know, they told my agents that nothing until after the bye week. Quinn Miners, who was playing at Wisconsin Whitewater, I believe, was a great, great story at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago. Just got an $80 million four-year contract from the Denver Broncos. I believe he became the fifth guard to get a deal averaging $20 million a season. He's not at the top of that guard market, but he's darn close to it. So you're talking about an interior offensive lineman at more than $20 million a year. And the Quinn Miners story is simply, you know, fantastic to come from Whitewater to get drafted and then get paid like that.
Emmanuel Ogba just signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with Miami.
And you know, last Friday, when the Bears had Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus talk, Poles brought up the defensive end situation unprompted. Like, that was in his opening remarks. He started talking about the pass rush situation. And part of me thought that, well, this is sort of a – and he said, you know, we want to see what the guys we have can do. We like them. Part of me wondered if that was a preemptive, like, we're not going to pay you a ton of money to come here. Like, we do have other guys. Like, so, I just, they paid Ngakoue $10 million last year.
Right.
If the going rate is
1 year for $5 million, you could probably find that in the couches at Ellis Hall.
Oh, they've got the money for that. Are you going to get your $5 million out of them? Because you sure as heck didn't get your $10 out of them last year, right? I mean, didn't even come close to that. So
between him and the defensive tackle, you lost quite a bit of firepower. I'm not saying they were good, but you lost a certain amount of production. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did. They did. And he could come in and maybe be a little bit better this season. You gotta see where he's at medically.
Yeah.
Like, you can't look at clips of him running around a goalpost on some high school field in Florida and determine that he's healthy. But I'd still have questions about the depth of their pass rush if he was on the roster and had a uniform.
Good stuff, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. See you, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
That is Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I don't like how the media made him, and not you guys, I'm talking about the LA guys, the just the mainstream LA media and all this. I don't like how they made him this type of prima donna type thing and all that stuff, when you got to know this kid and you sit down and talk with him in the cafeteria and all that stuff. It's just like, nah, you just sit down and get to know him, you know? So, you know, good kid, man. You know, I can't wait to see what he does. Special arm talent. And this offense, you know, got so many good weapons around him. You know, it's, you know, the sky's the limit for that kid.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, that's DeMarcus Walker. And he's talking about the, you know, the maybe the expectation for Caleb Williams, the storylines that were out there. I don't know that we've seen a player who came in with, like, a more absurd reputation than this guy. A lot of the talk was, sorry, go ahead.
The gap between the speculation and the rumors and what we actually have seen and heard is vast. It's huge. What we expected and what we have seen, there's really, it teaches you and reminds you just to wait until you see somebody to make draw a conclusion. There are so many formed prematurely when it comes to Caleb Williams, and I think that DeMarcus Walker alluded to that by that evil, dastardly LA media. Not you guys. But you know, those LA.
But the national media based in LA.
LA, you know, rats out there. The National Enquirer, TMZ, all that, of course.
I would say a couple of things. Caleb Williams had a 3.29 college GPA in communications. And he knows how to talk. He knows how to communicate. Why he chose not to do that, why he maintained sort of his own counsel, whatever way you want to portray it, he never attempted to change some of those thoughts about him.
But I think somebody who's comfortable with who they are doesn't feel the need to respond to baseless accusations or characterizations of themselves. You know, you don't, if you don't feel like any of those land or any of those are valid, I think it's wasted energy to try to have to respond to everything that was being said about Caleb Williams. And there was a lot being said about Caleb Williams. He could have perhaps in retrospect, you know, held a press conference, sent the message, been a little bit more loud and amplifying what was fact and what was fiction. But he also was focused on being, you know, I guess, getting the grade point average where it was, being the best quarterback in college football. That was his goal. And all the other things that come with being Caleb Williams, college football, celebrity, NIL endorser.
Right.
Busy life. And I think that when you look at some of those factors, it equips him well for being an NFL franchise quarterback. But yeah, he probably learned along the way that, you know, there are times when he may have could have said more and stopped maybe some of these conclusions or unfair conclusions from being formed. I just think that what we have seen is what we should judge him by. And what we have seen is a player who has embraced Chicago and everything that comes with being the Bears quarterback as much as we've ever seen anybody do it.
It was really interesting watching the HBO Hard Knocks program about the Giants, because they have Caleb. They showed them in their draft meetings, and the scouts are presenting on various players, and they talk about Caleb Williams, and they say, whoever their scout guy is, says, and this is like their main guy, he says that he's, you know, a really competitive player. You know, he did decline to talk to the media after this game or that game, and, you know, he was spotted crying. Obviously, that would be a problem for us because of being the New York Giants and being in a major media hub. I have no problem with the team having that discussion about someone, because it's true that part of the job, especially in a big media market, and Chicago's a fairly big media market, is being able to communicate and talk regardless of whether you win or you lose, regardless of how competitive you are as a person, etc.
No doubt about it. That's a factor.
Yeah.
And you have to consider that, and you have to weigh that, and you have to evaluate that, and then you put on the tape, and then you look at the practice, and this arm talent that everybody speaks about, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, all the guys who have seen a lot of NFL arms, and they respond this quickly to what Caleb Williams has to offer, that quickly outweighs any other concerns about his state of mind and things that might have been premature judgments and all the things that might be unrelated to how he's going to perform in the pocket. I know they matter. We have PhDs in body language, you know, here in Chicago. We read it all the time and have for years. But I think that when it comes to production, when you have a player that's capable of producing the way Caleb Williams might be able to, makes everything else kind of inconsequential.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be fun to watch how this happens. I mean, you know, I was thinking yesterday about Jordan Love and, you know, what happened with Jordan Love, which was about, I don't know, 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks into the season when he started to take off a little bit, right? I mean, I know they won that opening game against the Bears, but he wasn't great in that game. And it wasn't until you get into the season a little bit where he began to take off. And listen, that's a guy that was allowed the opportunity to sit and watch for a few seasons or a couple of years before he got the chance to play. It's a totally different situation. But it does, like, you cannot draw early conclusions based on the first couple of games of the year, even. I think we're going to always be drawing conclusions and we're looking for certain things to happen right away. But even with a player like Love, who did get an opportunity to wait and learn the offense and then start playing, it took him into the season to be able to kind of play as well as he wound up playing, and they went on to win a playoff game. And you wonder, like, what element, what is it that you're seeing when a guy clicks? How is it that you know a player is improving and getting to a point where it's coming together for
you? You know
it
when you see it, you
and
just
that's,
do.
That's
I
what
mean,
we're about to embark on,
it,
is my point.
Exactly, yeah. And you're going to realize it when it happens. And I think that the hope is that people are disciplined enough to not rush to judgment. And I think that it's going to take discipline on both sides. If he throws 3 picks in the opener against the Titans and the Bears lose 21-20, all of a sudden it's going to be Caleb Williams is a bust on Monday morning. And it's going to, and likewise, I guess, or the other side of that is if he throws 3 touchdowns and they win 30-17 and the offense looks like it's clicking, we're going to have to resist the temptation to put him in the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall of Fame. So it's going to have to be a constant reminder to try to find somewhere in the middle during this rookie season until we're more clear about what he's able to do week in and week out, the consistency factor. That's what Jordan Love, frankly, didn't achieve until the second half of the season.
Right.
You look at his numbers and his game logs, and he had a stretch where he had three picks and 2 picks back-to-back games, and then all of a sudden something clicked.
I would say that the advantage that the Packers have for where they are right now isn't necessarily just with Jordan Love. I mean, that's part of it, but it's with the youth of the entire team. It, you know, you got a feeling they're still a team that's on the come. They're still a team that's – they are not yet as good as they're going to be as they keep this group together. With the Bears, I feel like Caleb Williams is coming in to a better situation than the one that Jordan Love came into last year. Despite all that, you know, there was still a very young receiving core, and they still are young. I think they've improved the running back in year two. Ooh, I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
But I think the Bears, when you look at the weaponry around him and the situation he's coming into, it's a really, there's a lot of positives to feel around just Caleb Williams.
I wouldn't disagree necessarily. I think the weapons, you could look at the Bears receivers being greater, the Bears trio being better than the Packers quad, if you will. They have 4 right. really good receivers, and the Bears have 3 really good receivers. You know, the Packers, though, I mean, they have the offensive system that is tried and true. So they had the play caller that is proven. So I don't know that I can understand that point of view. Caleb Williams is coming into a better situation than Jordan Love did. I don't know
but
that
the flower
I,
was there for
I,
a
I,
few
I don't know
years.
If I totally agree with that. I think also because of the element of experience. You know, Jordan Love at least knew what it was like to be
around
in NFL quarterback, in an NFL building, the pace of the season, how you need to pace yourself.
He knew where the locker room was in relation to the field.
He knew a lot of things you learn from by doing. So I still think that this, Jordan Love is on the verge of signing a contract that is like extraordinary in its size. And you look at we're talking about a $280 million investment. Okay, that's what I was reacting to yesterday. This could be a six-year, $291 million contract based on unqualified success, but the best quarterback in the NFC in the second half of the season. They're investing $290 million, at least they're about to, on some pretty small sample size, relatively speaking. I think that, to me, is extraordinary. I understand you've got to do it. They have no choice. Jordan Love has the leverage here. But
they're going to have to pay.
I still think that when we're talking about risk involved, that's a huge risk.
Would it be better for Caleb Williams not to play this year? In the ideal, if the Bears had a different team, a different set of circumstances.
No.
See, I agree with you.
No, I think the experience is always going to make you better.
I think he's, I think that his, when 3 years are up and you're making a decision on him, I think you're going to know who he is.
I think that in today's NFL, given the pressure on coaches and general managers and everything, you want to see what you have quickly. You need to have these guys develop at a different rate than before, and you're always better off playing the rookie or getting experience, which is why I think the Vikings are making a mistake if they sit J.J. McCarthy.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We have to talk about that because I think he's a little different than Fields, but we should get to that. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Good. Yeah. It came back way better. And in terms of just the operation of it, and it's improving every day.
You feel resolved. That's resolved. You guys have a game next week, obviously.
You're always going to enhance your cadence and change the cadence. So, you know, we have to go through the process of that. You know, you got to use different cadences, and it's got to use it as a weapon. And that takes time. And we're going through the process right now. We're not even close to being through that process yet.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. So you feel that's resolved? No.
Well, let me say this about the cadence conversation.
Uh-huh. Careful. Dustin's listening.
It's a product of the NFL calendar giving us OTAs to cover, mini camps to cover, and the fact that there's a dead period in the NFL season that doesn't ever stop. And it is wall-to-wall football, 12 months a year. So we obsess over little details like how smooth a cadence might be in June. I think that there's been always these issues with rookie quarterbacks learning the playbook, learning what their voice is, how to change it from it's not college football any longer, calling a play in a huddle, going to the line of scrimmage. The cadence thing to me is a bit silly. Sorry, Dustin.
I love that that the center doesn't matter and the cadence is silly.
I'm qualifying my together. Priorities here. Okay.
Well, their priorities.
So what does matter other than QB1?
Okay. See, I know you guys are going to call me on this. The center does matter. I'm not worked up on July 23rd who's going to be getting the bulk of the snaps. I'm not worried about, with all these extra preseason games and time, that they're going to develop a chemistry. What does matter? Here's what matters. Your timing between your quarterback and your wide receivers. Your synchronicity with your offensive line. You would like to get a center in there, but it's more important to me that he learns how to work with the guards and the tackles than he does with the quarterback.
Mm.
Your defense communicating at a point where they know the checks and who's going to be where and who you can trust, because it does take 11. You wanted that to be everybody's on a string. Chemistry, cohesiveness, camaraderie. These are the kind of things you build in training camp. I don't really think I'm worried about Caleb Williams being loud enough at the line of scrimmage in a noisy building. I think he's going to be just fine. I'm not worried about Coleman Shelton snapping to him with his left hand and then Ryan Bates maybe on the next snapping to him with his right hand. I'm giving him credit
that
he's going to be able to take a snap.
That is, not only are they not the same guy, but there is a right-handed center and a left.
I know.
You just reminded me of the fact that is a
now
thing.
Now you're going to be in a full panic alert.
That's a thing.
You're in a full-blown panic now.
I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to. I'm not dismissing it. I'm minimizing it. I'm not dismissing
it. That's fair. Can we talk for a second about J.J. McCarthy?
Yes, yes.
Just because you said
you
thought he should start away.
Yes, I did.
J.J. McCarthy is 21 years old.
Yep.
He is a January baby. I believe he's January 20th. So he will be 22 years old on January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is currently 22 years old. He's a November baby. So on November 18th, he will be 23 years old. Mm-hmm. There is a full year age difference between the two of them. And I don't know that you have to be a year older to play or a year younger is fine or what. I just think that there's also the idea, and I don't know how you feel about the Minnesota quarterback. I do think, though, that Tyson Bagent is, God bless him, is not an obvious starting quarterback over a guy like Caleb Williams.
They cleared the decks.
They cleared the decks.
Smart. This is the way to do it.
So he was always going to start. I'm not sure they've done that yet in Minnesota. And J.J. may well come into the season not as the starter and move into the starting lineup as the year goes on.
Okay, perhaps. That's fine if he's not ready to do it. Sam Darnold is a acceptable bridge quarterback. My thinking in saying what I said was that in an ideal situation, if you draft a quarterback where they drafted him, he was a top 10 pick.
Yes, he was.
Then you give him the keys to the car on day one for a team that, what are you in, if you're the Vikings? You are a rebuilding team. You traded Kirk Cousins, and you are now starting to climb back to the top of the division. Right now, based on paper, you're at the bottom. The Bears have...
You're ahead of the Bears, technically.
Technically, you
are. Last year.
But if you're projecting this season, does anybody... I mean, how many people think that the Vikings are going to have a better season than the Bears? I'm not sure, outside of Minneapolis, you're going to get a consensus on that. My point is that you went from being considered a favorite in the division with Kirk Cousins and reasons to believe that he could be the veteran that's going to take you where you want to go, to retooling, rebuilding. Now you have a young quarterback to build around. In today's NFL, I don't know that you can waste time. I don't know that you can have an apprenticeship. I think that in his best interest, it might be develop him on the field. Trust your play caller. Kevin O'Connell's very good.
He's excellent.
Trust Justin Jefferson. Trust your offense.
Rashad is on the road. He's got a beef. Hey, Rashad.
Kobe beef. Well done, please. Well done. Hey, Dave. I love this mellowed out version of you, man. I love the color tone of the shirt today with the aesthetic lighting. Hey, Mully, I got a future plan Sox call for you in a couple of weeks, man. Something hit me in a dream. But I called this morning because, Dave, you kind of grinding my gears, man. I had to hit my brakes a little harder than I want to coming off 57. You're telling me not to be worried about a quarterback that's supposed to be generational in a year we're supposed to get to the playoffs under the most pressure we've ever seen. And you're going to tell me the snap exchange is no concern when we don't even have a legitimate center already announced on the team. And the kid hadn't even taken snaps on the center since high school. Dave, you cannot say or undersell the importance of that exchange. We saw the hindrance on the projections of how Justin had that as an issue his entire time throwing quarterback as best. Now, I'm not saying I should be flipping this morning, but I had to pull over and tell you, come on, man.
Okay,
come
thanks. On. All right, thank you. I'm not telling you that it might not be a problem. I'm telling you it's not on my radar right now as a problem because has it been an issue? I don't think there's been an issue. There's been nothing to judge it by. I think it's okay to anticipate problems. You can look at it both ways. I just don't think it's going to rise to the level of being a concern. It could. Caleb Williams, just like we have talked about him being – good enough to transcend whatever head coach is. I just don't know if it's going to be an issue. It could be. It could be. And I'll be wrong. But until they arrive on one center, I'm not going to worry about the center quarterback exchange yet. I'm just not.
See, I'm going to worry about everything.
I know.
And honestly, okay. If you think about it, like Caleb Williams, whatever it was, 2 years ago he won the Heisman. I believe he had 6 fumbles that season. Last year, he didn't win the Heisman, and his team struggled. It wasn't his fault. They graduated a ton, and he had 16 fumbles. I'm just saying, like, one fumble is one fumble.
I hear you. I'm worried about offensive line health and continuity. And I'm worried about him processing things at the line of scrimmage.
How is the starting center not offensive line health and continuity?
Well, it's not about health. It's about continuity.
Well, it might be about health if Ryan Bates is the center and you got to play him at right or left tackle, or excuse me, guard instead.
Okay. I think we're exaggerating my concerns here. I'm just saying on day 3, after 3 practices, I'm not ready to go into full-scale panic because they haven't picked a center yet. Period.
I just find it interesting because I thought they had. I thought they had, and I thought we went into the season knowing they had, and now it turns out that they haven't.
I'm not sure we ever thought that.
And, well, I thought Ryan Bates was the starting center. And I'm just saying, that's what I thought. And then you find out, no, they're competing it for that position, and you're kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And then everyone tells you, well, it's nothing to worry about it. And, you know, he's comfortable with each guy, regardless of whether he's snapping right-handed or left-handed. It's just weird. It's just a little weird to me.
Okay.
That's all. It's on my radar. That's all. I'm not jumping off the deep end, but I think every little
I'm making people pull over and call the score. Jeez. Okay. I guess I'm off the deep end.
Not at all. Taylor McGregor will join us next. We're going to talk some Cubs baseball. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.